a scathing testament Jesus gives to those Jews. And I think it's always good for us to be reminded that when John, the Gospel of John, speaks of the Jews, he's not speaking of the religious people, the faithful Jews. It's probably better to be translated Judeans, those from the southern tribes, those who lived near Jerusalem, more of a cultural designation than the religious designation. Because as we know, not all the Jews were opposed to Jesus. Jesus is a Jew, Mary is a Jew, most of the apostles were Jews. So it's not the Jews of the faith, the Jews of the culture and the land that he's having this argument with. Because Jesus was from the north in the Galilee. And so these, you know, the city dwellers, kind of haughty, thinking they're better than those country people, those bumpkins up north. And so they've had a hard time believing that that man, this man, is God. This reluctance, this inability, this hardness of the heart, as we heard in the first reading, to accept Jesus as the one sent from the Father. That first reading, that famous testament of the golden calf incident, that as God called Moses up to the top of the mountain to receive the law, his brother Aaron and the others got tired of waiting, so they created their own image, their own golden calf, which they claimed to be the one true God and the one that they worshiped around. They got tired of waiting on God, so they made their own God. How many of us in some way have fallen to that same trap, that God doesn't answer the prayers how I want him to or when I want him to? And so I just cancel out that part and I create my own idea of who and how God is. I'm reluctant to receive the full revelation of God himself. I create God in the image that I wish him to be. And this is what's happening in the gospel. These people have an expectation of what the Messiah would be and how he would come, and they are reluctant. They're hardened heart. Their hearts are hardened to see Jesus as that fulfillment. But he's reminding them today that if they were really honest about what they say they believe, they would have no problem believing that Jesus is the fulfillment. But they don't. And that's what he says. If you really believed Moses, you would believe me. He says, but you accept the testimony of humans. You look for the praise of your friends. No wonder you can't see the one true God standing in front of you. Again, how many of us fall victim? That we operate our lives in such a way that we get the praise and adulation of our friends and our family, the diminishment of Jesus and God and the one true faith. We are reluctant to receive Jesus as he is. We place our expectation upon him. And when he doesn't meet that expectation, we reject his revelation and formulate in our own mind how things should be and what really is true. Which is why we have famous people claiming to be Catholic who promote the most abhorrent evil things. But we gossip and we lie and we do the little things as well. We may not be the big famous sinners, but we create little holes in our theology that allow our sin to thrive for just a little bit longer. We reject the parts of the gospel that we don't like. Our opening prayer asks us to be schooled by the works we do, by the prayers that we offer. As we seek to strip away all the extra stuff in our life this season of Lent, we can come face to face with those parts of our heart, those decisions that we made which are opposed to God. And this isn't to shroud us with more guilt and shame. This isn't to condemn us. This is so that we can repent and come to life. But Jesus says he brings us to life, but they didn't want it. Jesus, the Messiah, is sent to reveal the face of the Father, that merciful, loving love of God on display in the face of Jesus. So many people rejected him. Are we ready to accept him as he is? Or do we continue to try to make him in our own image after our own ideas? We pray for that grace to die to that so that we can receive Jesus as he is. And just one note about Moses and the responsorial psalm, where he tells us that he stood in the breach. He stood in that gap to defend his people. And so really for our men and our dads, our husbands, this is for you, for us. This is the call of the Christian man, to stand in the breach against the attacks of the evil one, attacking our country, attacking our church, attacking our families. Moses stood in the breach and defended his people. Each one of us is called to do the same.